Hello, welcome back to Listening with Chris, and today we're going to be reading a couple more chapters, four, maybe five more chapters of The Iliad by Homer. Let's get right into it, but first, a word from our sponsor. Chapter 3, Single Combat. The sight of Hector and Paris revived their troops like a blast of fresh air. The two princes jumped into their chariots. "Drive straight at the Greek lines," they ordered their charioteers. As the chariots galloped forward, they both launched their weapons, throwing straight and hard. Two Greeks fell dead on the ground in front of them. Suddenly, the exhausted Trojans were full of energy. Charging forward, they sent their spears hurtling through the air. Now it was the Greeks who were on the defensive. They were forced to give ground. Athena was horrified to see them falling. She swept down from Mount Olympus, but before she could do anything to help, her way was barred by Apollo. She glared at him. "You support the Trojans?" She glared at him. "I know you support the Trojans, and I know you want the Greeks to win," said Apollo. "You can't wait to see them conquer Troy and burn it to the ground. But wouldn't you like this terrible killing to stop, just for a while?" Athena looked doubtful. "Is that possible?" "If we work together," said Apollo, "we can inspire Hector to make a noble gesture. Let's get him to challenge a Greek champion to single combat." Athena agreed. She and Apollo laid aside their quarrel for the time being and went to find Prisihelinus, one of Hector's brothers. He had the gift of second sight and could hear messages from the gods. They whispered to him, and even in the middle of the fighting, he knew what they were saying. Immediately, he struggled through the battle to Hector's chariot. "Brother," he said, "I have a message from the gods. Tell the Greek soldiers to stop fighting. Tell the soldiers to stop fighting. Then offer to meet one of the Greeks in single combat. The gods have promised that you will not die." Hector was delighted by the idea. Stepping into the space between the two armies, he held his spear in front of the Trojans, signaling for them to sit down. Puzzled and cautious, Agamemnon stepped out to join him, waving his spear so that the Greeks sat down too. With a clatter, the two great armies sank to the ground, facing each other across no man's land. Suddenly, the whole plain was still and silent. Athena and Apollo looked down at the great sea of warriors, transforming themselves into vultures. They flew down to a tall oak tree and settled there, waiting to see what would happen. Hector turned toward the Greek army. "I am Hector, Prince of Troy," he shouted. "Is there any Greek brave enough to face me in single-handed combat? If so, I challenge him to step forward and fight me now, in front of both armies. If he kills me, he can take my armor, but he must send my body back home to Troy to have a proper funeral. If I kill him, his armor will go to Troy to hang in Apollo's temple, but I will return his body to your ships so that you can build him a funeral pyre and make a burial mound for his bones." "Who will accept my challenge?" The Greeks knew what a great warrior Hector was. They stared at him nervously, but no one spoke. At last, Menelaus scrambled to his feet. "This is shameful," he yelled at his comrades. "Sit there and rot if you like. I'm going to fight Hector." A dozen other Greeks leaped forward to stop him. Everyone knew that Menelaus was no match for Hector. "Don't throw your life away for nothing, brother," said Agamemnon. "Sit down. We'll find someone to make Hector regret this challenge." "I'd go if I were young enough," shouted Nestor. "But I am an old man now, and the rest of you are cowards." His angry accusation had men leaping to their feet. Agamemnon himself was first, followed by the great Diomedes of Argos, then Ajax of Salamis, and Odysseus of Ithaca. All clamoring to be chosen. "We will draw lots," Nestor said wisely. He took off his helmet and held it out. Each of them marked a stone and dropped it in. The soldiers knew who the greatest warriors were. As Nestor shook the helmet, the whole Greek army was praying. Let it be Ajax or Diomedes, or great Agamemnon himself. Zeus, let it be a worthy champion. Their prayers were answered. The stone that came out of the helmet carried the mark of Ajax of Salamis. He was delighted. "Pray for me while I put on my armor," he called to the soldiers. So the troops went on praying, looking up to the sky. "Father Zeus, let Ajax win. Or if you love Hector too much, let him be defeated. Then may the fight be drawn, but don't let Ajax be beaten." Inspired by their prayers, Ajax took up his shield and marched out to meet Hector. "Now you'll see what it's like to face a true Greek warrior," he said. "Achilles may be out of the battle for now, but there are still plenty of us who can match you, Trojan. Defend yourself." Hector raised his head. His helmet flashed in the sun. You won't scare me with words. I grew up with a spear in my hand. Take guard, invader. With all the power in his body, he threw his long javelin. Ajax caught the weapon on his shield, but the point sliced through its bronze surface, cutting deep into the leather behind it. The impact threw him backwards. Recovering his balance, he flung his own spear, even harder. Hector swerved sideways, thrusting out his shield, and Ajax's spear went right through it, ripping the side of Hector's tunic. If Hector hadn't dodged quickly, he would have been dead. The two men fell on each other like wild boars. Ajax's spear grazed Hector's neck, drawing blood. In reply, Hector snatched up a jagged rock and threw it so hard it made Ajax's shield clang like a bell. Ajax threw an even bigger rock. It dented Hector's shield and knocked him off his feet, but he jumped up immediately, drawing his sword. He ran at Ajax. They fought until the sun went down and the light began to fail. Then heralds came running out from the two armies. "You're both great warriors," they shouted. "Zeus loves you both too much to see you hacking at each other in the dark." Ajax lowered his sword. "Hector challenged me to the fight. Is he ready to stop?" "You're a mighty warrior," Hector answered, "but we can hardly see each other. Let's stop for today and exchange gifts to show our respect for each other." He held out his silver-studded sword to Ajax. Ajax accepted the sword and gave Hector his magnificent purple belt. Then, as night fell, the Greeks went back to their ships and the Trojans retreated inside the city walls. Chapter 4. Paris makes an offer and the Greeks make a wall. The Trojans were relieved to see Hector come back safely, but they longed for an end to the war. Their leaders gathered in King Priam's palace, and one of them, Antenor, dared to say aloud what many were thinking. "What are we fighting for?" he said. "This is not an honorable war for us. We should give Helen back to Menelaus with all her treasure." Paris jumped to his feet, shouting furiously, "Helen is my wife. I will never let her go, but I don't care about the treasure. Menelaus can have it all and more, besides, if he agrees to end the war and go away." Other people began to shout, some agreeing with Paris and some with Antenor. King Priam stood, raising his hands for silence. "Paris has made an offer," he said. "Tomorrow morning, let's send Idaeus and our herald to the Greek ships to tell Agamemnon and Menelaus what Paris says. At the same time, we can ask for a truce, a proper funeral." Everyone agreed to this plan. They all went off to their separate quarters, hopeful that the end of the war was in sight at last. In the Greek camp, the mood was completely different. Ajax was welcomed as though he had won the great victory. Agamemnon had a fine bull roasted, and he carved the best pieces out of meat for Ajax. As the Greek king sat together after the feast, wise old Nestor leaned forward into the firelight. "I have a plan," he said. Many of our brave soldiers have been killed, and their bodies scattered across the plain. Let's arrange a truce tomorrow morning so that we can retrieve the bodies and build a funeral pyre." Everyone agreed with that, but Nestor hadn't finished. "We can use the funeral pyre to defend our ships. After the bodies are burned, we can pile earth on top of the pyre to make a long mound sealing off this beach. If we put a wooden walls on the top and the mound and dig a trench in front of it, our ships will be protected." The other kings liked Nestor's plan, as soon as they were given the chance to carry it out before sunrise the next morning. The Trojan herald Idaeus arrived, bringing the message from King Priam. "Noble lords," he said, "I have come to ask for a truce. We want to give our dead heroes a proper funeral. Also, I bring you a generous offer from Prince Paris. If you agree to end this unhappy war, we'll give you back all the treasure he took from Sparta, with more besides from his own treasure store. But he insists on keeping Helen as his wife." The Greek king stared back at him. They were stunned. "We can't accept..." Diomedes said fiercely. "Not even if he offers to give up Helen too. We're going to win this war." The other kings roared in their agreement, and Agamemnon turned to the herald. "You've heard our answer," he said. "The war goes on, but we will agree to a truce today. Go back and tell Priam that he can collect the bodies of his soldiers, and we will do the same." By the time the sun rose, Greeks and Trojans were out on the battlefield again. They came face to face with each other, but there was no fighting this time. Instead, they searched for their dead comrades and solemnly loaded their bodies onto wagons. The Trojans built a funeral pyre outside the city walls, and the Greeks made theirs near the entrance to the harbor. All day the sky was dark with smoke, and there was deep sadness on both sides of the plain. Before dawn the next morning, the Greeks gathered secretly beside the cold remains of the funeral pyre. Working in the dark, they heaped earth over the pyre, building a mound that ran along the harbor. They topped it with a strong wooden wall and made a stout paneled gates to let their chariots through. Outside the wall, they dug a ditch which they filled with sharpened stakes. By the time the sun rose, the whole thing was complete. It towered above the plain, and the Greeks sat down and feasted, drinking toasts to the new wall. They were sure it would keep the Trojans away from their ships. But Zeus was not pleased. When he saw the wall, he wanted the Greeks to rely on his... He wanted the Greeks to rely on his protection, not on the man-made defenses. He called the gods together, frowning as he spoke to them. "It's time to finish this war. I'm going to settle it, and I forbid the rest of you to interfere. If you do, I'll send you plunging down the darkest Tartarus." The gods trembled at his threat, and the whole sky shuddered. Looking up nervously, the Greeks saw thick clouds sliding across the moon. All night long, thunder rolled ominously above their ships. Chapter 6. Greeks on the Run. The next morning, Zeus watched as the two armies woke and prepared to fight. At sunrise, the Greek chariots charged through the strong new gates and down the plain. Immediately, the Trojan chariots flew out of the city to meet them. Metal clashed as the two armies met, and the soldiers bellowed their war cries at one another. Soon, screams rang across the plain, and the earth was red with blood. Neither army would give ground. At midday, Zeus took out his golden scales and held them high. In one pan, he put death for the Trojans. Into the other, death for the Greeks. Holding the balance steady, he waited to see which death carried more weight. Slowly, inexorably, the Trojan side rose into the air, and the Greeks sank down toward the earth. Zeus acted at once. His thunder rolled over the Greek army, and he sent a flash of lightning slicing down among its soldiers. The Greeks were terrified. They knew that Zeus was against them, and they lost all hope of winning that day. Turning their chariots toward the ship, they raced back to safety behind their new wall. But old Nestor couldn't retreat. Paris had shot one of his chariot horses in the head. The poor animal was writhing and thrashing its hooves as he tried to dislodge the arrow. Nestor was left all on his own, stranded in the middle of the battlefield. He jumped out of his chariot and slashed at the wounded animal's reins to cut the horses free. Hector saw him and seized the chance to attack. He snatched the reins from his charioteer and turned his own horses quickly, urging them across the battlefield. With his other hand, he held up a spear, ready to strike. Diomedes spotted what was happening. He shouted an order to his charioteer, and they turned to race towards Nestor. As he went, Diomedes bellowed to Odysseus, "Stop running away! Nestor needs our help! We must save him from that Trojan savage!" He was wasting his breath. Odysseus couldn't hear him above the tumult of the turmoil of the battlefield. Diomedes realized that he would have to save Nestor on his own. Sweeping toward the old king's chariot, he called down to him, "Leave the charioteers, cut your horses free while we go deal with Hector. We will teach him a lesson." Diomedes' charioteer jumped down, and Nestor leaped eagerly into his place. Taking up the reins, he turned the horses around with Diomedes beside him, ready to attack. As soon as they were near enough, Diomedes threw his spear at Hector's charioteer, killing him instantly. Hector was devastated to see his charioteer fall to the ground, but there was no time to run. There was no time to mourn. Diomedes and Nestor were heading toward him at top speed, snatching at the reins. He pulled his horses to a stop and yelled for someone else to come and drive his chariot. Diomedes' chariot swung around. He was ready to attack again, but Zeus had other plans. There was a terrifying clap of thunder, and a bolt of lightning hit the ground right in front of Diomedes' horses. They sheed and skittered back, and Nestor dropped his reins in terror. "Zeus is against us," he shouted. "We must back to the ships. We don't stand a chance of winning today." Diomedes was horrified. "You're asking me to run away from Hector? Do you want him to call us cowards?" "Who cares what he calls us? Everyone knows you're not a coward. Nestor, pick up the reins again." Nestor picked up the reins again and turned the horses, sending the chariot racing towards the shore. Hector gave a triumphant roar. "You're weakling Diomedes, ragdoll. I'll see you down in Hades with the dead before you break into the Troy." Diomedes grabbed at the reins. He would have pulled the chariot around and charged at Hector, but a second crack of thunder made him think again. Dropping his hands to let Nestor whip up the horses, they raced back to the wall, the Trojan chariots close behind them. Galloping through the gates, they found themselves in a wild tangle of horses and harnesses. The Greek chariots were crammed in among the ships, and the soldiers were scurrying around in a panic. They thought the Trojans would come sweeping in through the gate before they had time to pull them shut. Agamemnon jumped onto the prow of Odysseus' ship, holding a great purple cloak. He waved it in the air to catch everyone's attention. "Shame on you all!" he yelled. "When we first came here, you boasted about how many Trojans you were going to kill. What's happened to all that spirit? Are you going to let the enemies overrun the beach without even trying to fight back?" He lifted his arms to the heaven, calling out desperately to Zeus. "Mighty Father, remember all the sacrifices I have made to you and hear my prayer. Save our lives." Zeus did hear him, and he sent a sign. A huge eagle came flying overhead, carrying a young deer. As it flew over the Greek camp, the eagle dropped the deer right next to the altar where Agamemnon made his sacrifice to Zeus. When they saw that, the Greeks turned to fight again. They attacked so fiercely that the Trojans were driven away from the wall and back across the trench. Hastily, the gates were closed and barred behind them. For that night, at least, the Greek army was safe. But Hector knew that he had the upper hand, and he did not mean to lose it. He would not allow the soldiers to retreat into the city. Instead, he told some of them to collect firewood and sent the others back into Troy to fetch supplies. He ordered them to make camp out on the plain between the city and the Greek ships. That night, 1,000 campfires burned on the battlefield. The air was filled with the crackle of flames and the smell of roasting meat. 50 men feasted around each campfire. Beside their chariots, the horses stood ready, munching barley and rye to give them strength for the next day. Hemmed in behind the wall, the Greeks could hear their enemies rejoicing. They were filled with fear as they looked across the red glow of campfires, drowning out the stars. Well, those were the next 3 or so chapters of The Iliad by Homer. I hope that you enjoyed. And next, we might be doing maybe a segment of my radio show or a couple more chapters. But, well, bye.